from daddy's old LGO.
Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, May 8th, 2018 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. I'm your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all road warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. Plenty of strange stuff going on these days, no shortage. It's interesting, sort of the confluence of things. The Monsanto Bayer deal is interesting. You know, the fact that Brian over at High Impact Flicks is one of the latest casualties of the YouTube censorship campaign. You know, and sort of the confluence there, I think, is interesting. Maybe, you know, one of the reasons that you can get your video flagged is pharmaceutical sales being pushed in your video. Well, we have an epidemic of that in this country, and that's okay. Those manufacturers can continue on. But, you know, it's interesting, the little video that YouTube put out last month when they basically bragged about the fact that they'd censored 8 million videos, largely through technology. And when you think about that, by the way, that's a lot of videos. You know, if they get flagged by machine learning, for example, and then they're reviewed by a content reviewer, say it takes a minute to review the video. That's 8 million minutes. That's over 130,000 hours of review. And what's particularly interesting when you consider that is that those you know, YouTube bragged about the fact that most of the videos that have been pulled down were pulled down with 10 or fewer views. So that's pretty close to immediate in many cases. And how is a person able to review that much content that quickly? You know, because there are mountains of content that are uploaded to YouTube every day. Anyway, lots of nonsense. You know, Melania Trump's Be Best. You know, first we had Just Say No, which didn't make sense either. How about we just say yes to something? Just say yes to the Republic. Just say yes to virtue, morality, and religion, as the founders put it. And how about we say yes to something? Saying no to something has proven to be not a good, what I would call, long-term strategy for success or plan for success. And so anyway, Be Best makes even less sense in Orwellian linguistic minimalist sense. And then on top of that, we have all of the usual nonsense. New York Times reports today, Iran angry and divided, fears deeper crisis if nuclear deal ends, which reminds me of the continuation of the Arab Spring. And I think it was in Truth by Grace, she made the video and she talked about the Florida Spring that we had here in the wake of the Valentine's Day massacre, as they referred to it in the mainstream press. And you have, again, New York Times, Gina Haspel has the experience to run the CIA, and that may be her biggest problem. That's kind of ironic. That's an ironic headline. Her experience shouldn't prevent her from spending time behind bars, I think. You know, there are a number of folks, her, Jose Rodriguez, and up the food chain from there, I think you could go. But again, that's a story for another day. We'll be covering the CIA later this week because the world has been plunged into utter chaos and it hasn't happened by accident. Coming through the second half of the 20th century into the 21st century. So all kinds of weird stories. CNET yesterday, Microsoft's Project Brainwave brings fast chip smarts to AI at Build Conference. That's weird. New York Post, at least they're honest. David Hogg is postponing college to push gun control. Actually, he was rejected by many of the colleges, apparently, that he sought first to attend. Just interesting stuff. You know, Town Hall today, the war on wisdom. If we could stop, if we could just pause, we might have a shot at, you know, turn off the television, turn off all of the propaganda, and just pause for a minute. We might have a shot at beating back the forces of tyranny, but I digress, I suppose. Meanwhile, technology grinds on. There's, as The Verge puts it today, Nate Garen at The Verge, his article, How to Watch the Google I.O. 2018 Keynote. And that's, you know, the I.O. is a little esoteric nod, but we're in the middle of a very busy developer conference season. You know, it's all about disrupt and so on. Google I.O. 2018 is kicking off today, which is also day two of Microsoft Build keynotes. And we only just wrapped up Facebook F8, or Fate, as I like to call it, ahead of Apple's big developer event next month. But now that you're here, we hope you're ready to hear more about this year's updates to Android, AI, Google Assistant, automotive Wear OS, and all the other new ideas that Google has for the future of its platforms. I'm sure we're going to see lots of horrific things come out of this year's Google I.O. conference, and all the others for that matter, because it's a coordinated effort, obviously, as has been established. You know, I was thinking about that yesterday. It's interesting. And we should touch on the social media stuff today, but first we're going to get back to the last Thursday's Good Christian remark by Paul and talk about that because I think it's important. But I was thinking about it yesterday. Is it becoming, if it wasn't before, is it becoming self-evident to everyone else who, again, may have been enamored, drawn in, beguiled even, I would say, by technology and all of the misleading snake oil sales pitches that we've been given over the years? You know, the Paper Reduction Act, for example, was National Paper Reduction Act, was a good example of how, well, it's kind of like the Patriot Act. It's one of the most unpatriotic things that's ever been enacted, the National Paperwork Reduction Act. Increased paperwork several fold. So technology in similar fashion promises much, but it's not really designed for you or for me. And for the specific purposes for which it's designed, I still think that Ray Kurzweil's The Age of Spiritual Machines is one of the best books that you can read. That is the intent. And Jaron Lanier's You Are Not a Gadget, a Manifesto, is to me the sort of antithesis or rebuttal of Kurzweil's Age of Spiritual Machines. The title says it all. I don't want to be a spiritual machine or anywhere near anything, any such concept. So this is, you know, this is what's been happening. You have guys like Scott Klosaki have gone around as the poster child for the wearables to implantables transition, and we see all of the other nonsense that seems to correspond, I can imagine, with the opioid crisis and the, you know, talk of flu epidemic, which I touched on last week. And it's interesting how, speaking of interesting things, you know, and again, really Graceful's video about something strange is happening in Georgia, you know, the Atlanta CDC saying it needs another $400 million for a new complex, even though it just built a new complex not too long ago. And at the same time, Dr. Timothy Cunningham mysteriously disappeared, and there's nothing strange about the fact that his body washed up after an area, in a remote area, after it had already been searched and was so remote that the retrieval effort was nearly unsuccessful. And but there's nothing suspicious about any of that. So you could see a sort of confluence of things unfolding, again, going back 10 years now, you know, and even farther when Aaron Russo talked about what intimated his conversation with Nick Rockefeller and what was conveyed to him at the time. So you come forward, H1N1 nonsense in 2009, and fewer people died in that hysteria than what we've seen this year. So in sort of Streisand effect fashion, we're told to get the flu shot with a marginal efficacy rate in the official vernacular, if you will, because efficacy to me is a pejorative. It's a word that is misused to further beguile and mislead people. Because what is efficacy after all? You know, we could define terms. What you would say efficacy is may not be the same thing bad guys mean. In other words, they think population control in Bill Gates sort of fashion, you know, if we can bring the population down a little bit, hey, that's great. That's efficacy. Whereas you and I might say, if I don't get sick, that's efficacy. So we have to define terms there as always. Anyway, it's interesting. In Streisand effect sort of fashion, you know, before the turn of the new year, before 2018, you know, we kept hearing flu season, it's going to be a big one, it's going to be a big one, and get the shot. And then all of a sudden, the reporting on the number of deaths, which skyrocketed this year, sort of went dark in the mainstream. Huh. I wonder why. And again, I think, you know, Streisand effect. Oops, nothing to see here. Wait, what's over there? Why are you trying to shuffle the rug over that? That's weird. So I could see that coming together. And, you know, I've mentioned before my own personal experience in Idaho, the Idaho Pandemic Preparedness Response Plan. Back in 2006, I went to a community meeting and mentioned that it stated that under a declared state of emergency, the plan said that all state agencies are coordinated under the Idaho Bureau of Homeland Security's division. So basically, even the governor is subordinate to Idaho's Bureau of DHS, according to that document. And I thought that was something that was reason for concern. And everybody on the panel, you know, in this consensus building exercise dismissed it. Oh, don't take that literally, which is odd. So that document also mentioned that in a declared state of emergency, there are a number of steps that this basically fusion-centered martial law-style operation could conduct, including mass vaccinations. So you have that, You have the implant issue, again, going back to 2009 after the H1N1 nonsense. I've mentioned before, Verichip in September said, hey, we have a chip that can detect swine flu and other things. Isn't that cool? And everyone was horrified, and they went, oh, too soon, sorry. We'll wait a little bit. And then later that same year, Verichip bought Steel Vault, merged to create Positive ID, where now you can have your medical records and your credit all on one chip. And what was it? I want to say when they announced that they had a chip that could detect swine flu, and this was, I mean, for years we've, again, I've mentioned several times the PowerPoint presentation that James Lewis over at CSIS gave more than 10 years ago, and he said, the technology we've heard about, that whole grain of rice thing, that's something to say no to soften you up. The real technology is already, it's already made. We're just waiting until the time is right. And there's a RAND Corporation monograph with their little four quadrants that talks about what we can do now, what we can do later, what public opinion is ready to accept, and what they will be ready down the road. And that includes things like stem cell research and all that stuff. So they just keep battering people. Anyway, I think it was on the announcement of the chip back in 2009 that Reuters reported that the Verichip stock tripled on news of the implant. So you have to wonder about that, because the general public would not rush to adopt something like that, even with the propaganda, to the extent that it would triple the stock price. So then who's excited about that? Who is that excited about that? And of course, around the same time, you know, there was Obamacare and all of that nonsense. HR 3200, remember the language about implantable devices, a class 2 implantable device, life-supporting or life-sustaining. Could that include, you know, the kind of thing that I'm talking about? So anyway, lots of interesting things. And, you know, bad guys don't make these plans and investments for nothing, if you know what I mean. So anyway, no shortage of strange things. And if we could just get people to break from the schizophrenia, the cognitive dissonance, and the normalcy bias. No, you're imagining that. No, actually, I'm not. And, you know, then you have more propaganda. Speaking of that, I saw the story the other day. I think it was yesterday, actually. CNN, doctors raise alarm about ancient HTLV-1 virus. Prevalence is off the charts in Australia, they say. So that's interesting. I think, by the way, who was it that said all of the natural disasters in Hawaii are Tulsi Gabbard, basically, directed at Tulsi Gabbard? I forget who said that. I keep neglecting to mention that, but I tend to agree that might not be out of the question. And just as a final note on news, what was that? The story. Where is that story about the nonsense in Dallas? I'll mention that and we'll move on. When we come back, stick around. We'll be right back.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone. All alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and biting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Welcome back. Oh my goodness. Just crazy, this country. Mike Adams wrote an interesting post. Not that Mike Adams, the other Mike Adams, over at Town Hall. The tenured enemy in our midst. The tenured enemy in our midst. That's an allusion to, his tenure in academia. Mike Adams wrote about Professor Julio Pino of Kent State University, which, you know, has a history of being a flashpoint, obviously. I was thinking about Kent State and Jackson State when I was talking to Renee yesterday. But anyway, so from the piece, Julio Pino was an Islamic jihadist who was actively conspiring with other terrorists seeking to murder American troops and innocent civilians. You know, it kind of reminds one of the provocative red herring that Jordan Peterson is in academia. And when I say red herring, this is kind of what I mean. I remember talking to my attorney one time years ago, back in 2004, I think, and I asked him a question. I thought it was fairly innocuous, and he said, "Chris, there are a lot of fish in the sea, a lot of silverfish. They swim around in schools. Life is good. No big deal. They don't have problems. Then there are redfish. Redfish get eaten. Don't be a redfish." So it's interesting. Redfish, red herring. That's kind of the concept, you know. Are you going to be a nail sticking out that gets hammered? So Julio Pino is sort of, you know, another peculiar red herring. An Islamic jihadist who is actively conspiring with other terrorists seeking to murder American troops and innocent civilians. But, you know, he's a tenured professor at Kent State University, because why not? Cultural Marxism, unite. The FBI eventually got to Pino, Mike Adams writes. Unfortunately, it took them 11 years, during which Ohio taxpayers were forced to pay the salary of a man who was openly planning to wage war on his own country. I think we need to define terms there. But from the Wikipedia entry for Julio Pino, Julio Pino returned to the headlines in January of 2016 when information surfaced that the FBI was interviewing students and professors for possible ties between Pino and ISIS. Pino denied the allegations against him in an email to Insider Higher Ed, saying, quote, "My only commitment is to serve my students as guided by the light of knowledge," which sounds like bad guy doublespeak, doesn't it? Too ambiguous to be genuine. Duplicitous, I would say. "I have no ties to any political organization, nor do I recruit for any cause." Right, you're a propagandist. You're a COINTELPRO guy. An agitproper. A university spokesperson confirmed that he is still teaching at this time. Kent State said that in a statement that it is cooperating with an ongoing investigation. But here's where it gets interesting. It said FBI assured it that there was no threat to the campus. Pino said neither the FBI nor Homeland Security has notified him of any sort of investigation. Oh, it's not an investigation because he's an asset. You know, he's one of those guys. He's an informant. So there's no investigation. Of course not. You know, he's a textbook sort of guy. You know, it was interesting. Part of the CIA stuff that I want to cover is how the CIA used to, and, you know, they'll even tell you, they used to have professors on campus who discreetly funneled kids to the agency. And now it's just, you know, because it's an illegitimate organization that should be plucked out by the root or at the root. And now it's just been normalized. So, you know, they have cool little recruiting videos and stuff, which is, I think, disgusting. But I digress. So, you know, this kind of thing, suborning the whole country and the whole world, is just normal now. And so Julio Cesar Pino is, I think, fashioned after that style, if you will. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce. Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting in a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Is their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, getting used, oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
Welcome back.
My brother.
Holy cow. A little bit more, you know, just real quick, Julio Cesar Pino. Again, from a Wikipedia entry, Pino has been involved in a long series of controversies relating to American foreign policy, Islam, suicide bombing, jihad, and Israel. I mean, it's like textbook political Islam versus political Zionism. You see what I'm saying? I wonder what he's teaching at Kent State. I wonder, you know, this is the tip of the ideological spear. It's worse than what Andrew Breitbart talked about, the cultural Marxism back in the 60s. You know, that's just normalized because the kids that are at Kent State now, their parents were in school back in the 60s when they were teaching cultural Marxism and their, you know, the kids would come home and their parents would say, "You're learning what? I'm not paying for this anymore. This is ridiculous. That, of course, has gone by the wayside because, as John Wesley said, you know, paraphrasing, what one generation tolerates, the next will embrace, right? I think that's how he said it. And so this is where we are. Next phase, next phase, next phase. This is just hardcore tip of the spear, political Islam versus political Zionism sort of stuff, drawing in the Christians and the atheists, destroying everybody, ushering in Satanism. Well, that sounds crazy. I know. But if you step back and look at what's going on, this kind of stuff you can't ignore. The 20th century brought us, you know, before the turn of the 20th century, August 15, 1871, Pike allegedly wrote a letter to Mazzini outlining three world wars, the third to be conducted by colliding political Zionism against political Islam, obviously drawing in Christians and others, you know, all of the other Muslims, all the Christians. I mean, that's billions of people just right there. And then along with Christianity, atheism, and we see all of that nonsense. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists. We see that. When do you start admitting, stop ignoring all of the coincidences and start admitting that it's possible this is a coordinated plan? When do you start realizing that the 20th century, before the 20th century, we didn't have this thing called British Israel or this thing called British Saudi Arabia, and it took a lot of effort to orchestrate the creation of those two contrivances. Again, one of the great footnotes in that history, I guess, if you will, is the document, or the documentation of it, I suppose. You know, Waleed Khalidi's article back in 1993, the Jewish Ottoman Land Company, Herzl's blueprint for the colonization of Palestine. And I've mentioned this recently, but, you know, again, this is published in 1993 from Khalidi's article, the Jewish Ottoman Land Company, Herzl's blueprint for the colonization of Palestine. And again, 1993. So he wrote opening some 60 years ago as Appendix 1 of his magisterial De Zionitze Bewegung, the Zionist movement. Adolf Baum, a leading authority on early Zionism, published the full text of a remarkable document. So 60 years ago, that'd be 1933, right? Adolf Baum, a leading authority on early Zionism, published the full text of a remarkable document from the Herzl Archives in Vienna. This is the draft of a proposed agreement, a charter, quote-unquote, between the World Zionist Organization, WZO, the WZO, and the Ottoman government concerning the, quote, privileges, rights, liabilities, and duties of the Jewish Ottoman Land Company, the JOLC, for the settlement of Palestine and Syria. The document, now, so you say, okay, but that's 1933. We know that stuff was, okay, yeah, but listen. The document does not bear a date, but seems to have been drawn up sometime between the summer of 1901 and early 1902, which is shortly after, obviously, the first and second World Zionist Congresses in 1897 and 8, I believe, right? So its authors seem to have been principally Theodor Herzl, the founder of Zionism. That's not exactly true, but whatever. And Arminius Vainbury, a Hungarian Orientalist of Jewish descent. Those Hungarians of Jewish descent, they're an interesting breed. George Friedman, George Soros, and on and on and on. Vainbury was not only close to Herzl, the latter fondly refers to him in his diaries as my little uncle, but also Abdul Hamid, the Ottoman Sultan. So everybody was bought and sold by the turn of the 20th century. I mean, this is an agreement that was drawn up. You can tell, obviously, you can pretty much presume, or one can conjecture or hypothesize that this was a result of those World Zionist Congress meetings. Okay, so we talked about it. You know, they didn't have the internet, obviously. Still took a little bit of time. So here's the agreement. You know what we talked about? Here's the formal charter, quote unquote. 1901, 1902. And, you know, you fast forward. We, you know, not long after we get Saudi Arabia, not long after we get, and of course, along the way, a world war, then Saudi Arabia, then another world war, then British Israel. And now we have political Islam and political Zionism, respectively, don't we? Wahhabism, Salafism, Deobandism, which is conflated with Islam, and all the while, you know, conflated particularly with Sunni Islam, all the while trying to extinguish Shia Islam from the planet. That's interesting. And it's funny, those Shia regimes, as they're referred to, are generally, they're not really a concern for us over here, but we keep hearing that they are, even though they're not. And if they are, then you go back again to the history of the CIA, you know, Libya in particular. By 1970, the CIA was deep into gun running in places like Libya. Muammar Gaddafi was, you know, the leader of Libya back in 1969. And so, again, Gaddafi's September 23rd, 2009, what I call 9/11 truth speech that you can still find on C-SPAN, which is, I think, remarkable but fantastic. I always say he spoke for over 100 minutes, 110, 115. It's actually, he was scheduled, his remarks were scheduled for 10 or 15 minutes. He spoke for over 130 minutes, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken. Something like that. Maybe it's an hour and 35 minutes. No, that doesn't sound right, because that would be, it was more than that. Anyway, much longer. And he just started picking up a head of steam at the 1 hour mark. So, yeah, it was 135 minutes, I think, or something like that. Anyway, you know, the point is, in this case, we keep hearing about guys like Gaddafi, and, you know, if he could just be honest and say, you know what, I was an inside guy, I was a frenemy, and, you know, sure, there's gun running and drug running and stuff, and there are, you know, folks benefiting illicitly, and but this wasn't my plan, and they came to me first, and I didn't put it together until years later. So, you know, I mean, if he could be honest, maybe he could say that. So the buying and selling takes place long before the incidents ever hit the mainstream news. So more than 100 years later, we have the Julio Pinos of Kent State, of the Kent State universities, you know, teaching kids how to collide themselves together, which is despicable. And in similar fashion, let's talk about guns, shall we? So that's Julio Pino. That's one way that we're being encouraged to collide ourselves together. Now, as far as guns, let's see what stories. Oh, town hall yesterday. Timothy Meads. Actually, 2 days ago, May 6th. Sanctuary cities for gun owners? Illinois is trying something new. From the Associated Press, at least five counties recently passed resolutions declaring themselves sanctuary counties for gun owners, a reference to so-called sanctuary cities such as Chicago that don't cooperate with aspects of federal immigration enforcement. So there are folks who will look at this and say, oh, that's fantastic. That's great. You know, score one for liberty. And I say, are you nuts? You know, look at it from a strategic bad guy perspective. What could this possibly do? What could it possibly do when you put oil and water next to each other? You try to mix them. Could that be a potential flashpoint? I mean, I was asking if we had the Anton clip. When I read stories like this, I think of Antoine Dotson. You know, you are so dumb. You are really dumb. Because this is a recipe for an ideological flashpoint. Let me give you here's one scenario. Remember how Barack Obama said, well, it's not Chicago's fault that we have all this gun violence. It's all of these, you know, surrounding areas and, you know, people from out of state, you know, the guns that get trafficked in from out of state. Remember that? And everybody went, whoa, man. That's not cool. It's not our fault. You guys have a violence problem and that you have basically created the environment for the problem, which also we're doing in a variety of other ways. Hope to get to here in a minute. Anyway, so one issue could potential issue we could see. I mean, aside from the flashpoint, obviously, of having these counties butted up against each other that are in vehement opposition to one another ideologically, that clearly is a recipe for disaster and a flashpoint, especially in a society that cannot have. Is largely incapable of civil discourse. Beyond that, though, considering Barack Obama's sort of scapegoating of neighboring states and counties, you could obviously see the potential for a setup in a ROM Opportunities of Crisis Emmanuel fashion. Oh, you know what? These guys aren't responsible enough to exercise their sanctuary gun owner city status, so we got to take that privilege away from them. Well, wait a second. The Second Amendment doesn't grant any privileges. It enumerates the right of all of us to defend ourselves in that context as a group, a corporate body, if you will, against tyranny and you know, the broader encroachment. So it just seems like a recipe for disaster. So continuing, though, that's that story. A couple of others. This one, speaking of town hall, Kurt Schlichter article 2 days ago, why science and experience command that you buy an assault rifle, quote unquote, an assault rifle. And it's kind of an interesting read. And you know, he goes through a little diatribe and then he says, but it is science. The math is clear that chaos is in the cards and you better be ready. As B.J. Campbell writes in his brilliant article, the surprisingly solid mathematical case of the tinfoil hat gun prepper, or quote unquote, who needs an AR-15 anyway? Thank you, Kathy Shadle, for the pointer. We already face a significant chance of significant upheaval in the near future. Even before we factor in the kinds of attacks on the rule of law and on citizen sovereignty that we're currently seeing from the left and their Fredocon appeaser pals. Anyway, again, a flashpoint. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that sort of overtly controversial sort of agitprop type stuff. The Mike article, gun owners, activists bring different agendas to NRA convention in Dallas. I sort of alluded to that subject matter yesterday. Interesting, you know, the discussion of folks, you know, protesting. Where is that? Teens inspired by this wave of action showed up outside the NRA convention in Dallas to protest, but their presence only made those inside more fearful that the government would at some point try to take their guns. Again, flashpoint. And so if you need to, you know, orchestrate something, and there are a variety of folks who you might argue, one might argue, could benefit from this kind of nonsense, not the least of which, you know, the folks at the show. And if you've been to these kinds of shows, it seems more and more they're catering to a sort of defense security contractor, a DefSec sort of clientele And then there are all of the smaller shows and things, and that's just really unfortunate, in my opinion. Anyway, maybe I'm being Chicken Little, but these stories all sort of add up to agitprop and flashpoint. You know, do you have a crowds on demand show up outside to invoke a climate of fear and strategy of tension sort of fashion and agitprop sort of fashion? And then, speaking of these kinds of stories in town hall, not to pick on town hall too much, but it's just interesting, you know, all of these stories. Matt Vespa published a story yesterday. Oh, so that's why the owner of a Dallas-based restaurant pushing gun control won't comment. And the receipt from a May 4th this year visit to Ellen's in Dallas mentions at the bottom, the little comment at the bottom of the receipt, "Thanks for visiting Ellen's. A portion of this week's proceeds will be donated to organizations dedicated to implementing reasonable and effective gun regulations." Reasonable and effective. And so that's obviously more agitprop, getting people stirred up and conflict and, you know, and it's, I mean, that's a bogus soundbite that's been debunked a million times anyway. What is reasonable and effective gun legislation? Well, you know, if we just took guns away from everyone except for law enforcement and, you know, private security details for billionaires and things like that, then, you know, life in America would be great. Really? Tell that to the people of London or Australia, or it's not so great. And besides, this isn't London or Australia, so no thanks. Let's dispense with the agitprop, shall we? But I digress. And then, you know, just as a last bit of note, perhaps on the headline kind of stuff, the Miami Herald yesterday ran a story, "Backlash follows revelations that Parkland shooter was referred to Promise Program." And this is it's an acronym. I suppose Lucy, or is it more of a portmanteau? I think it's more of an acronym. Preventing Recidivism Through Opportunities, Mentoring, Interventions, Supports, and Education. So, an acronym. But this is the infamous program that folks like the right worshipful Sheriff Scott Israel have referred to, you know, that was basically sort of the means of Nicholas Cruz falling through the cracks. So these kinds of programs are very deceptive. Again, you got to think in bad guy strategy sort of terms. You can see what will happen is they'll use a program like this to get certain kids help, so to speak. They'll not arrest them, and then they'll get them enrolled in a program and give the illusion or the illusion or the appearance of helping. Meanwhile, they identify perfectly fantastic Manchurian patsies like Nicholas Cruz. And, you know, there are all kinds of little suspicious peripheral. Was he involved in the white nationalist training camp exercise? No, he doesn't have any. Well, where did that story come from? That's kind of weird. And he was enrolled at one point, but not in high school, as Superintendent Runcie mentioned. And there's some duplicity and ambiguity there. Why is the school system so reticent to just be honest? Apparently it was in middle school that Nicholas Cruz was referred to the program back in 2013 after he vandalized a bathroom at Westglades Middle School. And again, there's ambiguity and duplicity on exactly how much time he spent and exactly what he did. And so it fits the sort of, you know, FBI plot with a Hollywood ending, as Trevor Aronson would say, you know, quoting the FBI agents themselves, in a sting operation. You know, so cook up the plot with a Hollywood ending and enter, just add Manchurian Patsy here. sort of thing. And then when people attack, you know, then you get them off arguing about non-issues. How dare you attack this program? Look how many kids it's helped. My issue is mainly with the surreptitious nature of the program and the fact that you seem to be using it as a cover, a thinly veiled guise to identify, you know, Manchurian patsies like Nicholas Cruz. It's like a recruiting hotbed for Manchurian patsies, this kind of thing. So, you know, maybe it's me. Preventing recidivism through opportunities, mentoring, intervention, support, and education. So this was the program that he was referring to, the Right Worshipful Sheriff Scott Israel, when he visited the Darul Uloom Institute in Pembroke Pines with Deputy Nezer Hamza and others on duty, which is weird. You know, Nezer Hamza's connections are weird, and Pembroke Pines' connections are weird. And I mentioned the Broward County stuff, you know, the Reddit thread, Broward County. If you haven't checked that out, check it out. It's pretty interesting. And that doesn't even get to everything. I mean, there's the Pedogate stuff, you know, and the human trafficking stuff, not just Broward County, but like I said, you know, to the north and to the south. Miami-Dade, and it's, gosh, I keep forgetting. It just falls out of my brain as soon as I think of it. What's the county to the north? Anyway, same thing. You know, the Mar-a-Lago County, the Jeffrey Epstein County, that's what I'm thinking. Anyway, so that doesn't even include everything. You know, the Darul Uloom Institute is a particular sticking point in Broward County that never comes up unless you listen to guys like Philip Haney, former DHS counterterrorism investigator, you know, the Tablighi Jamaat network stuff. And, but it was founded by a radical Diobandi who, Maulana Shafayet Muhammad, who, you know, is a sort of Forrest Gump of, terrorism, if you will. And the Darul Uloom Institute of Pembroke Pines in Broward County, same kind of thing. Long history of Gladio B ties, even predating 9/11. You got at least three, and remember, you know, three is enemy action, third time enemy action. So top Al-CIA to commander, FBI most wanted, Saudi, by the way, Adnan Shukr Juma. He attended the Darul Uloom Institute and Broward County Community College back in the 90s. Jose Padilla was linked to closed Islamic charity, according to the LA Times. And subtitle of that story, Padilla linked to closed Islamic charity in an LA Times back in 2002. Subtitle was, well, I'll finish that. We'll move on when we come back. Stick around more right after this break.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.